Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
We are in the third week of our series, Spirit-Led Life. And it has been an amazing series. I know I even had somebody pull me aside, somebody who visited the very first week of Spirit-Led Life, who visited Pneuma East for the very first time, came back the second week last week and came back again this week and asked me how long is the series going on for. I said, as long as the Holy Spirit leads us, could be 10 weeks. She goes, well, I'll be here for 10 weeks. I go, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. Spirit-led life is really important because we are unpacking this whole thing in Romans 8 about adoption, having the spirit of adoption, and not a spirit that leads us back into fear. I also said this over, I think last week or the week before, is that when your identity changes, everything changes. When your identity changes, everything changes. I'm speaking from experience because my identity, I knew that I was a son. Because the Bible tells me I'm a son. But when I knew I was a son, when it went from the head knowledge to heart knowledge, everything changed for me. I pastored different. I husband different. I father different. I friended different. I led differently. Oh, by the way, Paulina is not here. She's in New Zealand visiting her sister for the very first time in 16 years. So Jay, myself, and Edward bought her a ticket and sent her on her happy, merry little way. So she sends her love. She sends her love. She's not missing you. I think she's sleeping. She had a red eye flight. Anyway, but I even husband differently when I started walking in my true identity. Knowing about identity is one thing. Knowing is one thing, but learning to live that identity is another. Yeah. And many Christians, many believers know the theology about sonship. They know the verses, but when they fail, when they fall, when suffering comes, when challenges come, when prayers seem to be unanswered, the instinct, the word is important, the instinct is to withdraw from God, go into hiding, be isolated, be secluded, withdraw from the church family instead of running towards Him, instead of running towards the presence. And that's going to become a little bit clearer as we go through today. Why? Because that is the opposite of what we're called to do. We are not called to run away. We are not meant to run away. We are meant to be running towards Him. So the next question that we need to seek the answer of is the how of the what. In other words, how does God transform the heart of a slave or an orphan into the heart of a son? How does a slave become a son? How does fear become confidence? How does distance become intimacy? And I believe it's in Scripture. I believe Paul answers this kind of question by the words that we finished off with last week in Romans 8:15, by whom we cry, Abba Father. So I've titled this message today, the third week, The Spirit Who Draws Us to the Father. The Spirit Who Draws Us to the Father. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are so tangible. We thank you that you are about to reveal to us another depth of the mysteries of God. And we say, yes, come. Let your kingdom come. We open our eyes to hear, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to talk this morning out of the new NIV study Bible. I like different translations because it just says the same thing in different ways. And the study Bible says this, the same scripture, Romans 8:15, like this. The spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. I like that because it shows that we did once live in fear, okay? That we don't live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. Holy Spirit is important. It brings about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba Father. It's interesting, Paul writes, and by him we cry, Abba Father. Paul does not say, and by him we understand. Paul does not say, and by him we believe, or by him we confess. He says, by him we cry. By him reveals to me that Holy Spirit does something else. There's something that else that happens beyond just changing our status from slaves to sons. There's something more dynamic that happens. By him. Then Paul continues, we cry. Now these are not tears. This is a Greek word, kratzo. Kratzo meaning to call aloud. Kratzo to meaning to call out. Kratzo is something that's describing an earnest, heartfelt cry that rises from a deep place of conviction. Deep place of conviction. Please note, it does not describe a polished religious prayer. It does not describe eloquent theology. God is not asking you, and Paul is reiterating the fact that we don't have to have all our ducks in a row and know the Bible inside out, back to front, before we can approach the Father. Yeah? Kratzo. It's by deep conviction. It's an earnest, heartfelt cry. And a biblical example of this word is in Mark 10. And the context is Bartimaeus. You would have heard of him. Bartimaeus was blind. And because he's blind, his ears are very alert. And he's in the commotion. Something is happening around him. And as he listens, he hears this chatter going on that there's one, the one, capital O, there's somebody passing by who could heal him, who could change his life forever. Now, he could not see, but he could only hear. And it's with this excitement and this mayhem that's going on around him that he realizes he just has one option, because he can't see where this person is. He's only hearing where it is. So he's got to use something that he has, which is his voice. And Mark 10:47 says, he began to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He began to cry out. It doesn't say he cried out once. He began to cry out. So there was a repetition of him crying out. Again, this was this earnest, heartfelt, deep conviction. Hey, this is the guy that could maybe change my circumstance. And in 48, it says, many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. Shh. You're making a noise. But he cried out, it says, all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Put yourself in that situation. Let's say you were blind and you were only hearing and you heard of this person walking by. Would you cry out with a controlled, polished, polite voice, hey, Son of David, have mercy on me? No, you wouldn't. Neither did Bartimaeus in this time. He cried out with a raw, unrestrained, passionate cry of desperation from deep within. Son of David! You see, Bartimaeus knew that this Son of David was his only hope, that he had to get the attention of this person that is walking by, that everybody is chitter-chattering about, because most probably this would be his only opportunity. You understand the desperation that is happening here? So now let's go back to Romans 8. The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Do you now see that how Paul is painting us this incredible picture? He's not just interested in how we respond, the cry. He's actually more interested in what we cry, Abba Father. What we cry. And by him, the New King James Version says, by whom we cry. By whom we cry, Abba Father. Wow. Beautiful picture. Cry. Kratzo. Desperation. Roar. By whom we cry, Abba Father. Abba Father. Two words, lots of questions. Does Abba not mean Father? Does Father not mean Abba? Why not the one or the other? Why both? Well, let's unpack it. We start with Abba. The first thing I learn as I study the word Abba is it doesn't simply mean daddy, as it's often described. Older preaching often said it simply means daddy. Now, that is a nice sentiment. Most modern scholars would agree and suggest, though, that it is too simplistic. And actually, it diminishes the richness of that word. Secondly, it's not Greek. It is Aramaic, the language that Jesus spoke. We're talking about Abba, the language that Jesus spoke, which brings us to the third point. And that is Abba is actually an Aramaic family word. It was the natural way a son or daughter would address their father in their home. It speaks of intimacy and trust and affection and warmth and desperation. So a person gets the idea on how in the past it has been translated as daddy. But here's the difference. The difference is it never loses reverence. It never loses reverence. It's not casual. It is intimate without becoming flippant. This is important to know. And then the fourth point is, and this is what makes it so extraordinary, is that Abba Father, those two words, the only person in Scripture we hear using this word, these words, is Jesus himself. And he uses these words in one of the darkest moments of his earthly life. Can you remember where that was? Garden of Gethsemane. Mark 4:36. Jesus knows the cross is only hours away. His closest friends, his disciples, have fallen asleep. There's this weight of bearing sin that presses upon him. And the first word that comes from his lips in Mark 14:36 is, Abba Father. Abba Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Wow. Can we be real? Jesus is in the deepest suffering. Jesus knows what lies ahead. Did Jesus consider quitting? Did Jesus consider hiding? Did he consider running away from this moment? Does he perhaps think that, oh, maybe I can't face this reality? I want to answer yes. But as a believer, I'm cautious to do so. But actually, he prays, take this cup away from me. He prays it, take this cup away from me. But he didn't walk away. He didn't throw in the towel. But that's not what I want to highlight. What I want us to see is that it was in that moment, in his darkest hour, that Jesus doesn't walk away from the Father. He walks towards the Father. He approaches the one that has the outcome. He approaches the one that he knows can shift the circumstance, that can change things. Abba Father. This is important for us to hear as a family, as the church. Because Jesus again models something that gets highlighted later by Paul in Romans 8. Jesus models a lot of things in the Bible for us. And he models this. Don't run away, run towards. Cry out, Abba Father. Now, this is where it becomes even more mind-blowing. And I want you to hear this morning, because the very words that Jesus cried out in Gethsemane, the very words, Abba Father, are now the words Holy Spirit places in the hearts of every son and daughter. Whoa. The very words. The Son, he enjoyed perfect fellowship with the Father. He He has now, through his finished work, opened the way for us, for you and me, to share the same fellowship with the Father. Not as spectators, not as servants, not as sons, as sons, standing inside the family, not outside the family, sons and daughters who have been welcomed in. These words were the words that were just used by Jesus. Folks, Holy Spirit does not create a different relationship with God. Holy Spirit brings you and I into the relationship that Jesus already enjoys. He brings you into that relationship. Let me reiterate what I said last week. The Spirit doesn't invent sonship. The Holy Spirit awakens us to the sonship that Jesus has already secured. You've given your life to Jesus. You've accepted him as Lord and Savior. You're a son. You're a daughter. Remember, when I say sonship, it's not gender-based. You're a son. You're a daughter. You don't have to try and be one. Holy Spirit awakens you to the fact that you are one. You are one. So when your identity changes from a slave to a son, your relationship changes. And when your relationship with the Father changes as you awaken to sonship, guess what happens? Your instincts begin to change. Remember I said to you, remember the word instincts. Your instincts begin to change. Now I've got an illustration here that I'm going to use to try and help us understand this more. It's a family context, and I think a lot of our parents have been there. Little Johnny, he's got a bicycle for his birthday. He's been on the train with the training wheels for a little while, and today is the day that those training wheels get taken off. Everyone is watching. Nana's there, granddad's there, the cousins are there, mummy and daddy are there, the sibs are there, everybody's clapping and cheering, and little Johnny is so proud, man. He's driving, and he looks back to all these people that are cheering like madmen over there. Guess what? Uh-oh, here comes a curb. You know what happens? Curb, bicycle one way, little Johnny another way. There's just scraping, and everybody who's been cheering, all of a sudden there's silence, and there's this gasp. And Nana, she's like a cheetah. She's got a skirt up, and she's running towards little Johnny, yeah? And Daddy realizes, all right, Nana's in front of me. I've got to get in front of Nana. And Daddy's running as well, and he's running towards little Johnny. And Mommy, oh, my gosh, she's the last out of the starting blocks, yeah? And she's running like crazy. Little Johnny picks himself up. He looks. There's blood all over the knees. Dirt all over the hands. His helmet's half skew. He had a helmet on. His helmet is half skew. And he swings around and he starts bolting to these people that are running towards him. But he gets to Nana. And Nana's got her arms out and he sort of like just goes through the arms. And Daddy's running towards him and he's like this rugby player and he sort of like darts and he avoids Daddy. And guess who he runs into? Mommy. Mommy! Mommy! Why mommy? Husbands, don't take this personally. Little Johnny, some observation first. Little Johnny did not stop to think, oh, who should I call? Little Johnny didn't stop and think, okay, let me get my speech together and become eloquent and have a statement ready to tell them why I felt. No. He didn't have that either. Little Johnny also did not try to dust himself off and compose himself. And you know what? He didn't run off to hide in the bushes. His first instinct was to set his sight on one person and one person only. And that was, Mommy! Mommy! Why Mommy? Because Mommy is the natural nurturer. Mommy is the carer. Am I right? Mummy is the lover. Mummy is the safe haven. Mummy. Mummy, come and help me. Mummy is the comfort zone. And mummy is the healer. She's the band-aid applicator. Any mummies that have done this before? I see those hands. Dads, it's all right. Fathers, it's okay. There's something bigger to know about this whole scenario, and that is this. Relationship has become little Johnny's first reflex. Relationship has become little Johnny's first instinct. You see, instinct is formed out of relationship. He knows, mummy. He knows, mummy. Church, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing within us. The Holy Spirit is continually forming a new instinct in us as sons and daughters to run to the Father and cry out, Abba, Father. Raw, unrestrained, passionate, grazzo. Why is this important? It's really important to know. And this is the reason why. Because back in Genesis, guess what happened? Sin caused humanity to run from God. Genesis 3:8, Adam and Eve, they hid from God among the garden trees after eating the forbidden fruit. But he is a good father because he even kept coming into the garden and calling out, where are you? But they still chose to hide. They still chose to be secluded. They still chose to not go to him. So the Holy Spirit comes and he forms an ongoing new instinct within every believer, reminding us that we are now his children. And instead of running away from him, run towards him. Instead of fearing, which we no longer have, run to the Father who's adopted us and cry out, Abba, Father. You received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We don't have the Holy Spirit who simply teaches us new information about God. We have the Holy Spirit who changes the deepest instincts of our hearts. That's his desire, to change the deepest instincts of our hearts. Bartimaeus, he cried out because he needed mercy. Son of David, have mercy on me. We cry out, Abba, Father, because we've been adopted as sons and daughters. Folks, the Holy Spirit draws us closer to the Father. Why? Because that's where our safety is. That's where our acceptance is. That's where our help is found, is with Abba, Father. Abba, Father. So why Abba, Father? Let's get back to that question. Why Abba, Father? Two words meaning the same, or do they? I don't know. What is looking at study look like as we look into this? The reality is this, and I want to answer this so that you don't go home going, well, was it Abba or was it Father? I want you to know this. We don't know with certainty why Paul preserves both Abba and Father. We don't. There's no written anything down why. But scholars have two things, which I'll read to you. The first is Father is the Greek translation of the Aramaic Abba. The second thing is that Paul preserves the original because it had become a treasured Christian expression rooted in Jesus' own prayer. That's the explanation. But that's not what I want us to look at. I want us to move our eyes off the words and onto the moment. Because this is a moment. I really don't think it's about the fact that Paul says, Abba, Father. I think it is, and this is for you and me, it is, and it should be more about who gets to say it. Think about it. For all of Israel's history, God was definitely called, certainly called Father, Deuteronomy 32, 6, Isaiah 63, 16, etc. Then Jesus comes and he speaks to God, speaks to God, and speaks about God with this amazing intimacy. And he calls him Abba Father. He calls God Abba Father. Paul comes along and he says the very same Spirit who lived in the Son now lives in you, and he teaches you to cry Abba Father. This is the revelation that we need to get. Ordinary believers, you and me, ordinary believers, now get to address God as Father, as Abba Father, sharing in the family relationship Jesus has opened for us. That's the revelation we've got to get. Ordinary believers, you and I, we have this privilege and this honor to address God as Abba Father, sharing in the family relationship, sharing in that Jesus has already put there. The words that once in history belonged uniquely to the Son, Abba Father, are now the words that every son and daughter speak, can speak, should speak. Mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. To think that we can sit for a whole sermon, and we could even unpack even more. At one stage, I had 16 pages of notes just on that line. Not to say how good I am, it's just to say how deep the Scripture is. How deep the Scripture is. So as we finish, as we conclude, I want us to, we've had 3 weeks of this series, Spirit-Led Life. And I want to take us back to where this series began. Began in the upper room. Jesus made this amazing promise to his disciples, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. That was John 14, verses 18. Then Jesus explains it. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. He dwells with you and will be in you. Another meaning, one of the same kind. Not a replacement, one of the same kind. The team can follow. Join me, that'll be great. Now Paul comes in Romans 8, and we've spent 2 weeks just on Romans 8. And he says, you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You put that together and something just really highlighted to me, and I want to share this with you. Holy Spirit's greatest ministry is not simply to empower us for God's work. You see, we as Pentecostals lean very much on Pentecost. And you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. And we focus a lot on the power. But I want us to push that aside this morning and say the Spirit's greatest ministry is not simply, it's not the only thing to empower us for God's ministry. Here it comes. His greatest ministry is to continually draw us towards the Father. Draw us in. Even in the prayer series that we went through. Draw us in. Father. How do you pray? Teach us to pray. Father. Draw us in. It's out of relationship. Reminding us that we, number one, we belong to God's family. We are reminded by this scripture. We are reminded by Holy Spirit because we walk with Holy Spirit. He's with us. He's not here. He is in us. He's with us. Where we go, he goes. And because he goes where we go, he is constantly reminding us that we belong to God's family as sons and daughters. Therefore, instinctively, we call out, as Jesus did, Abba, Father. When you stuff up, Father, help me. When you make the wrong choices, Father, help me. Abba, Father. I just want to say that. Just cry out, Abba, Father. He's listening. He's ready. He's running. I nearly want to say, I get the picture of the father of the prodigal son. You know, the father that pulled up his skirt and ran. You know, like Nana pulled up her skirt and ran to little Johnny. I think Father God is so loving and so amazing and such a good God. He's a good father that when he's waiting for you to cry, Abba, Father. Grazo. Raw. Passionate. Bartimaeus. Son of David. Abba, Father, help me. He's a good father. He comes, Holy Spirit, to draw us towards the Father, reminding us that we belong to God's family. Therefore, instinctively, we call out, Abba, Father. This week, as I've prepared, I've really just focused on the words, Abba, Father, in my quiet hour. And even when I said it there, there's just something in my spirit that just goes, whew. It's a warmth. There's inclusivity. I don't know what it is. I can't even put it to words, but it's something beautiful. Something beautiful. Over the past 3 weeks, we've touched on a number of things. But all 3 weeks has done one thing. It's called us as believers home to the Father. It's called us as believers back to the Father's table. And this morning we're going to do something a little bit different. We are going to do communion. We're going to take the elements this morning together in this moment. I want to put on the table this morning that communion isn't simply a reminder that Jesus died. Communion is a reminder that through his death and resurrection, we have been brought into the family of God. It's not just that he died. It is a reminder that through his death and resurrection, we have been brought into the family of God. You are part of the family. I want to say this morning as well, this table isn't for perfect people. There's not a perfect person sitting in this room. This table is for redeemed people. This table is for sons and daughters who have been welcomed by grace. So every time we eat and every time we drink, we remember what? Not just what Jesus did, but we remember the cost the Father made to bring you and me home. The sacrifice he as the Father made. You see, the cross made our adoption possible. The resurrection secured our new life. Here it comes. Holy Spirit continually reminds us that we belong. We belong. So today, church, we don't come as strangers around this table. We don't come as servants or as slaves trying to earn a place or pay our way forward. We come as sons and daughters, welcomed by our Father through his Son. So as we receive communion, as we take the bread and the cup, I want to encourage us, let this be our heart's cry, Abba, Father.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.